This is Dish and Dirt with Gary Pickren, South Carolina's only podcast dedicated to the real estate agent craft. And now, the host of Dish and Dirt, Gary Pickren.
And greetings and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Dish and Dirt. I'm your often opinionated but rarely wrong host, Gary Pickren, coming to you from the beautiful confines of Blair Cato Pickren Castelline in downtown Columbia, South Carolina. This, the fourth and final week of April 2024. Got a couple things we're going to talk about today. We have some Sitzer Burnett update information, as we seem to always have these days, as well as we're going to talk about this asinine proposal coming out of Washington on title insurance. Now, it does have bipartisan opposition, which is very unusual. You never can get anybody in Washington to agree on anything these days. And lo and behold, it seems we have bipartisan opposition on this title insurance issue, which you need to know about. And the reason you need to know about it is I'm sure you're going to start having some clients tell you that they hear you don't have to buy title insurance anymore. And that's not true. That's not the proposal at all. But the proposal is pretty stupid. So we're going to talk about what that proposal is so that you will be able to answer these questions from your client. Now, before we talk about Sitzer Burnett, I do want to remind you of our Cinco de Mayo event, which will be May the 2nd at the Tin Roof on Senate Street here in Columbia, South Carolina. It's one of our favorite events we do every year. You have a taco bar, free beer, free margaritas. We'll have music. We'll have entertainment and fun. And we also are giving away two tickets to the farewell tour for Aerosmith in Charlotte. I mean, this is the last concert you'll ever hear one of the greatest rock and roll bands put on, so you want to be there with a chance to win those tickets. Also, the first 150 people to come will get one of Olivia's cool t-shirts that she always does. This is a really neat-looking t-shirt this year, as always, and I know a lot of people always like to come just for the t-shirts, but it will be a good, fun time. We will also have a toast to our late friend, David Ziegler from Great Southern Homes, and recognize David and all of his friends at the event as well. Now, we do have some incredible sponsors. Our premier sponsors, of course, do include Dick Dyer, Mercedes-Benz. They'll have a couple cars out there for you to look at. Movement Mortgage will be there, as well as Great Southern Homes. That's David's company, and we certainly are appreciative of them being part of this so we can honor David. We also have Heron Insurance Services, Blue Trust, Resource Financial, Her Own, which you will learn more about that night, as well as Guild Mortgage and Southeastern Insurance Consultant. So be sure to thank your sponsors. Without the sponsors, these events could not happen. As y'all know, inflation's kind of crazy these days, so these events get to be very expensive. So without these sponsors helping, it would be impossible to do these. So we really do appreciate our sponsors, and we hope that you will support them with your business as well as your thank yous. Now, let's go ahead and talk about what's going on with Sitzer Burnett. As you may have heard earlier this week, the Sitzer Burnett case has gone through pre-approval of the settlement, and that's a very important step in the lawsuit, as they have now pre-approved the settlement. And what that means is that the court says that they feel, or the judge feels, that the settlement is just and fair to the members of the class who brought the lawsuit. And that's a big step forward in getting the final settlement approved. I believe now what will happen is it will get approved, and that's important because by mid-July is where you're going to see the changes. Now, for you guys that might be living under a rock and don't know what we're talking about in terms of the settlement, this is the case where the National Association of Realtors agreed to pay $418 million, as well as change the rules with the multiple listing service so that co-op commissions would not be listed on the multiple listing service. And so as of mid-July, if this gets final approval, that's when the new policy will take place. So you can expect, in my opinion, this to go on through. You'll also remember that a couple of months ago, we talked about a copycat case, and there have been double-digit copycat cases all over the country that have popped up as a result of the first lawsuit. As I mentioned in my legal tips last week, these plaintiffs' lawyers smell blood, and so they're starting to circle. So now is the time to make sure that you are doing everything correctly, that you aren't cutting corners, you're not half-assing things, that you're filling out all the forms correctly, getting everything signed, dated, and initialed, and making sure that you are very up-to-date on how to explain buyer agency and seller agency and so forth. But there was a copycat case against Keller Williams in the upstate. Now, it's a weird case because, as I understand, the lawsuit was filed in Spartanburg, but the plaintiff was from North Carolina. It was a North Carolina agent maybe or something like that, so it was a very odd case. But as you know, prior to the National Association settling, Keller Williams, REMAX, and Anywhere, and Anywhere makes up several agencies, which include ERA, C21, Coldwell Banker, Better Homes and Gardens, and others. And they joined the settlement, which resolved the matter for them nationally. And so that lawsuit seemed to have gone away, but those lawyers are back now with a different lawsuit and now filed in the federal court in South Carolina. But they sued 60 real estate agencies, 60 or so, 50 or 60, it's a long list. And it's primarily South Carolina-based real estate companies. And I'm not going to name these companies because I don't want to sit here and name all 60 of them. Plus, I just think the lawsuit's stupid, and I don't want to give these people the benefit of besmirching these people. But it's mainly small companies. Now, there are some larger companies, some of the massive companies that are not part of the settlement. And what you need to understand is back when this case was settled, the National Association tried their best, they state, to include every member of the Realtor Association in the settlement. But the lawyer, Ketchmark, would not agree to it. And what they were able to do is basically cover all but about 90 very, very large agencies. And those agencies had to do, I think it was like $2 billion in sales in a particular year in the early 2000s. And so it only left about 80 or 90 agencies. And from talking to some people at SCR, my understanding was there was only one large company left in South Carolina that might not be covered. Now, obviously, there were several national names, and I'll name a national name that's not here in South Carolina. Howard Hanna, for example, was one that I understand was not included in that settlement. But there's some other companies that do work here in South Carolina that are national known companies that were included in this particular lawsuit. The reason this is important is if this settlement does get approved here by July, these smaller companies that are members of the National Association should be included in that settlement, and I believe they should be dismissed from that lawsuit. There are four here in Columbia that fill that bill that are boutique-type agencies that were named in the lawsuit that I understand would be part of the settlement. So I'm not really sure what this lawyer's doing. Of the 60, it looked like all but about four or five would be dismissed, if I look at my numbers right. I went over with David Anderson. He's a phenomenal defense attorney that I'm friends with, and we looked at it. And it seems to me that if that's the case, that if the National Association's fact sheet is correct, that all of these companies are, in fact, covered by the settlement, which should be approved in July, then it looks like a big chunk of them hopefully will be dismissed. So that is good. But, you know, it's like I said in my legal tip last week, which I thought was very prophetic. It's almost like the very important prophet from 1980, David Coverdale of the band Whitesnake, said, "Here we go again." It's like every time you turn around, here we go again, another lawsuit. Put that legal tip out on Monday, and the next thing I know, on Tuesday, we're hearing information about this lawsuit. And the legal tip was this, is that you've got to pay attention to what you're doing. If y'all think this is going to go away with this one lawsuit that's been settled, you're crazy. These plaintiff's lawyers smell blood, and they're looking for other ways to come after you. And I believe the next way they're going to come after you is they're going to come after all these financial agreements that you guys have with lawyers and lenders and everybody else. So if you don't think that's at risk, I think you're insane. I mean, whoever would have thought that your commissions were at risk, that they were going to create a $500 million lawsuit over the fact that the real estate commissions were listed on the multiple listing service? Who thought that was ever going to be a case? I've been doing this for 30 years. It was the most insane thing we had ever seen when the lawsuit was filed. We were told not to worry about it. Don't worry, it's not going to go anywhere. So when your brokers are telling you, oh, don't worry about these financial arrangements, these title insurance arrangements, these mortgage arrangements that we have with lawyers and lenders that put money in our pocket and do nothing for the consumer, and you don't think those are going to come back on you, yeah, you're kind of foolish, I think. Just be aware, those are out there, and I think they're going to continue to come. And quite frankly, I have no problem with their coming because I think those arrangements are do nothing but put money in your broker's pocket. They do nothing to put money in your pocket. And the bottom line is they harm the consumer because it gets less service and increased fees. I've talked about that multiple times. You continue to ignore it, you people that don't agree with it. But yeah, you were wrong also on the commission cases too, weren't you? All right, so let's move on now and let's talk about the title insurance matter. So you may have gotten wind of this crazy proposal concerning title insurance, but of course, anytime there's a proposal out there in the government, there's always truly amazing misinformation. A lot of people have wrongfully claimed that this proposal gets rid of title insurance on all FHA or VA type loans. I've heard people say, well, this would get rid of title insurance for Fannie Mae and make it cheaper for everybody. But that's not this proposal at all. It does none of those things. While I believe this proposal is extremely bad, it's simply not that bad. But what the proposal does do, what it attempts to do, is it attempts to eliminate the need for a lender's title insurance policy only on certain refinances. And what it does is it shifts the risk of the title from the title insurance companies to Fannie Mae so that the person who's refinancing can save a few dollars. Because keep in mind, Fannie Mae is going to charge a fee. They're not going to just eat that expense. They're going to have to cover that themselves. It's an insanely crazy idea that had previously been proposed, but was pushed back last August. But for some reason, the administration is trying to revive it now. But luckily, it appears to me there's overwhelming bipartisan opposition, so it's going to hopefully die and not pass. But before I tell you more about this, I do want to preface this by saying I'm not trying to weigh into politics here. We don't do that on this show. But please understand that this is a matter affecting closings that you do need to understand. And in fact, the way I can tell you I'm not trying to take a political side on it is that there is wide bipartisan opposition to this proposal. And so at the end of this, I'll share with you some of the statements made by both Democrats and Republicans that are opposing it. But the purpose of Dish and Dirt is to simply keep you informed of what's going on in your industry. So first and foremost, you'll know for yourself. But secondly, you'll be able to answer your questions. Because I do believe what's going to happen here is that people are going to hear this in the news and believe that they are going to be able to buy property, get a federally backed loan or federally insured loan, and not have to get title insurance. And so they're going to mention that to you, and you don't want to be unaware of what this proposal is and how it does not even apply to those types of loans. So I want you to be able to understand how dangerous this proposition is, as well as how the misinformation's out there. In doing so, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the very short answer to the question, but I'm also going to give you the much longer answer so that if you need to get into detailed explanation with your client, you'll be able to do so. So let's talk about the simple answer. The simple answer is the proposal only applies to certain refinances of very wealthy people and doesn't apply to purchases at all and will unlikely help anyone who truly needs the financial help. So most of the people you're working with, those who are trying to buy a house, it will have no effect on. But some of your clients who you may have represented in the past may call you later talking about a refinance and how they might be able to save money, and it probably won't apply to them either. But you need to understand this so when your client hears misinformation in the media, on social media in particular, that they don't have to buy title insurance because they're getting a Fannie Mae mortgage, you'll be able to explain that's absolutely not the case. So now let's talk about the long answer. Now, getting the information from this long answer comes essentially from a company called the American Land Title Association. It's also an article written by my law partner, Cynthia Blair, in the Charleston Post and Courier. So during the State of the Union, the president announced several proposals aimed at lowering the cost of home ownership, which we certainly need. One of these, however, is this proposal here, which has already been shot down last August and has now been trying to be revised. What the program in particular would do is waive title insurance requirements on refinance transactions, but only for a very certain group of buyers. And as my law partner, Cynthia Blair, wrote, her thesis was this. This would be disastrous for South Carolina homeowners and the broader housing financial system and would have absolutely zero effect on helping those who need it the most. Luckily, it seems that there's bipartisan support for getting rid of this bill, and that agrees with what Cynthia is stating. So let's talk about the basics. Title insurance, as you know, defends or protects a homeowner against defects in the chain of title, such as people who claim ownership to your land, portion of your land, rights to use your land, liens, judgments against the property after you've purchased it. There's a difference between a title insurance policy for an owner and a lender. A lender's policy protects the lender. The owner's policy protects the owner. There's a misconception in the industry that if you're getting a lender's title insurance policy, then you don't need an owner's title policy because the lender's policy will protect you. Well, the lender's policy won't protect you for two main reasons. First of all, the lender's policy only protects if the lender has a loss. In order for the lender to have a loss, you essentially have to quit making your mortgage payments. So if there is a title issue, do you want to ruin your credit, go into default on your mortgage, and maybe go into foreclosure to hope that the title issue will be corrected by the lender's policy? So it's not going to provide you protection. That's why you buy an owner's policy. Second of all, the lender's policy ceases to have any effect when the loan is paid off. There's no reason for them to have the policy anymore. Their exposure, their risk of loss is done. So if you do refinance a property, that's why you have to get another lender's policy. Because once that lender is paid off, their policy goes away. So this new lender needs a policy to protect them against any defects of chain of title. But why do we even need that for the lender? Well, the lender has exposure. If they are loaning you money and you're giving them a security interest in the property, and the property has title issues where somebody might be able to claim they actually own the property over you, then the lender has no security in the property anymore of which they made the loan to you on. So it's important that the lender has protection and coverage. And that's what this policy is kind of eroding, which is not a good idea. It is also very important to understand that title insurance, like all insurance, is highly regulated and is highly price controlled. South Carolina, it's regulated by the South Carolina Insurance Commission. It's a comprehensive regulatory product. But under this pilot program that's being proposed, Fannie Mae would now become responsible for resolving title problems that arise. And that, in and of itself, is way beyond what its mission and expertise are for. This would shift the risk away from these private title insurance companies and would expose it to the housing market, creating more instability, which, if you remember, is what happened in 2008 when we had the financial crisis. Fannie Mae, going outside of its mission, outside of its purpose, made loans that it should never have made, and as a result, the entire world economy almost collapsed. So that in and of itself should scare you enough that we don't need to be doing this. So what exactly does the proposal do? According to the proposal, lenders would pay Fannie Mae a fee to cover the risk if there's an unexpected title defect. So instead of the borrower paying the title insurance company directly for the lender policy, now the lender would pay Fannie Mae to cover it, which all the lender is going to do is pass that fee over to the consumer. So I'm not sure how they think that's going to save any money in the first place. All it does is put more government control in. And it's important to understand Fannie Mae is a quasi-government entity because it's a government-sponsored entity that created to provide liquidity in the secondary mortgage market, and its primary focus is first-time homebuyers. So by law, it's not a title insurer, nor is it capitalized for that. It's not regulated for that. Title insurance companies, however, are highly regulated and capitalized for that, and they have capitalization requirements as well. And that's government regulation is at the state level, and so at the level of where the real estate transaction is taking place, that's where we're having all this regulation, where it should be. So Fannie Mae coming in this role is clearly outside what its core mission is. It would put lenders and taxpayers at risk for title insurance issues instead of the title insurance companies. It doesn't make sense why we would shift this risk from the title insurance companies over to the federal government, thus the taxpayers. Because remember, the federal governments don't have any money. They have your money, your tax money. That's where their money comes from. And the second aspect of that is it would displace all of the essential experts in the industry who clear the title issues to make sure we don't have title issues in the first place. And thirdly, what the most important thing to understand about the program is it really only applies to higher wealth homeowners. So why are we trying to worry about higher wealth homeowners getting a financial break on a closing? That has nothing to do with home affordability because the higher wealth homeowners can afford it. So let's talk about the opposition so far. So far, members of Congress on both sides of the aisle have already introduced a bill, bipartisan bill, remind you, which never happens in Washington. They have introduced a bill called Protecting America's Property Rights Act. And what this would do is require title insurance on all loans purchased by the government-sponsored entity known as Fannie Mae. Now, what is the administration's position? Well, the administration tries to point to other types of insurance and comparing that to title insurance and stating that other lines of insurance pay out about 70% of their premiums and title insurance does not. Well, that's a mischaracterization of how this industry works. It's very misleading, and I think it's just misinformed. The low claim rate is because the upfront expenses and work that's done by the title insurance company and the title attorney, the real estate attorney in South Carolina, to go back in time by doing a 40-year title search and fixing the issues that put people at risk. So the low claims rate is because of the upfront time, expense, and effort that has been put forth to ensure that the homeowner is protected. You need to understand that title insurance is different than other types of insurance because with title insurance, you're trying to protect against things that happened in the past. So you try to go back and eliminate all of those risks in the past, where with other lines of insurance, like car insurance, you're protecting against things that happen in the future that you don't possibly know could or couldn't happen. So it's a different type of insurance. So comparing the two makes absolutely no sense. But to think that title insurance companies don't have payouts is absolutely asinine. In 2022, they paid out almost $600 million in title claims, which was up from 2021, where they paid out almost $500 million in claims. Almost one-third of those claims, by the way, were things that you could not find in public records, such as frauds and forgeries and so forth. So that also shows you how having some automated computer program look at title and go, oh, that's what it is, isn't necessarily going to insure against all of those issues. And that's why title insurance is still a necessary part of the transaction. So what else does title insurance industry do that this proposal wouldn't do? Well, as you know, title insurance professionals also are key in preventing fraud, impersonation scams. You have the elderly fraud, you have financial frauds, all kind of defrauding of spouses and partners who own property. You have common heirs, heirs properties, all these types of fraudulent schemes are also dealt with at the title insurance level, which would presumably be removed if Fannie Mae was now to be involved in dealing with this. So it would loosen the fraud protections that are already in place. It also would have an economic effect in the industry, just like the Sitzer Burnett case is going to have an economic effect. Ernst & Young, which is one of the big seven accounting firms, they did their quantitative economic and statistics team, which is called Quest. They found that over $30 billion of U.S. GDP was generated by the title insurance industry, and there was over 155,000 people employed by it. So that would be an economic effect that could be lessened, as well as they also found, and this is very important, that the title insurance industry was able to collect $3 billion in federal income taxes, property taxes, and unpaid child support that might not be able to be collected in this program. But the bottom line is title insurance isn't why houses are unaffordable. We have a complete lack of inventory, which are driving prices up. The title insurance is no more expensive than deed stamps, which is the tax that counties charge you to transfer and states charge you to transfer a property. HOA fees are completely outrageous now. And so the title insurance isn't the issue of what's driving the cost. We know that. But our main risk here in this is that they're focusing on reducing closing costs by eliminating a title insurance coverage that protects people. As mentioned in Housing Wire article, removing the requirement for title insurance, the program introduces significant risk into the market and turns Fannie Mae into a primary market insurer, which is expands their authorities. And they don't have a good track record, guys. I mean, look at how horrible they were when it cost taxpayers $200+ billion because of their failures in 2008. And if that crisis taught us anything, it's that underwriting standards for lenders and for title insurance companies and risk protection should be more strengthened, not less strengthened. So this is not going to do what anybody believes it should do. So who's opposing this bill? Well, it's got bipartisan opposition. Jamu Green, which is a televised commentator and social justice advocate, co-founder of We Defend the Truth, he said, although well-intentioned, the title insurance part of Biden's administration prescription for improving access to homeownership for family and modest means, especially people of color, misses the mark. Indeed, the fundamental barriers to access for low and moderate income families are stubbornly high interest rates and short supply of affordable houses. Also, you had 18 House Democrats that also wrote a letter that stated, while well-intentioned, this pilot program will not address the true issue of housing affordability in our communities and puts homebuyers at risk. It says the title insurance has proven track record of protecting consumers and lenders for over a century. For a one-time upfront fee, consumers and lenders are protected against future title defects and can rest assured that their largest investments and wealth generator is safe. He's exactly right. He also stated in the letter, while we must find ways to lower housing costs, allowing the GSEs to assume unnecessary risk outside their core mission, possibly violating their charters, is not a path we should take. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have been under federal conservatorship, by the way, which since the last time they took too much risk and created the 2008 financial crisis, the letter said. We cannot afford to repeat the mistakes of the past while we work to address the nation's housing affordability crisis. The GSEs must stick to their core mission and provide liquidity and stability to the mortgage market. Expanding into new primary market lines of business and accepting as an insurer while in conservatorship goes well beyond what the enterprises are permitted to do and puts taxpayers at greater risk. At the same time, three Republicans also wrote a letter to the FHFA questioning whether the program conflicts with the agency's prior approval for enterprise product rules. And finally, Diane Toon, Alta's chief executive officer, also said, While well-intentioned, the program's flawed. It removes the expertise and protections provided by title professionals, does little to promote homeowner affordability for those who need it the most while heightening the risk of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So hopefully this bipartisan opposition will kill this craziness. But I do want to be very clear, making home ownership more affordable and available to everyone is a worthy goal, and it should be a key priority for any administration. But the best way of doing it is to truly address those barriers of home ownership, which is high interest rates, inflation, and low inventory, and not messing with the one protection out there and adding to what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, what their roles are in this transaction. Hopefully that gives you a little information that you'll understand a little bit more about title insurance, but also be able to address this issue with your client. And that's all the time we have for our show today. Appreciate y'all tuning in again to Dish and Dirt. If you'll please like us, share us, and subscribe to us, and tell all the other agents about the cool things that they can learn here on Dish and Dirt. Y'all have a great weekend. Come back again next week.